Welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast, where we talk about strategies and insights so you can live happy being well with your host, Rita Ferrugia. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store providing the best in all-natural wellness products, such as natural essential oils, all-natural bath products, all-natural facial masks, all-natural deodorants, irresistible leggings, crystals, including crystal home decor and kitchen items, herbal teas, natural sleep aids, and so much more natural wellness goodies at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on any order within the USA at happybeingwell.com. Now enjoy the show.
Hi guys, welcome to another exciting episode of Happy Being Well. And I have an exciting guest today. She has published a book with HarperCollins, and I absolutely love this book. It's everything that I'm super passionate about and really love talking about on this podcast. And I think the collective consciousness agrees, because their trending word now is really, people are really more and more than ever before in our collective mass consciousness, people are really craving now, finally kind of getting the importance of understanding yourself. I mean, we're not all there yet, but certainly it's becoming a buzz and trending word in the personal and spiritual community. So we have Rachel Luna with us. She's written this amazing book that really touches upon, you know, how to really go into, take that journey inward. And she's provided an amazing framework to kind of go through that journey. So her book is called Permission to Offend, The Compassionate Guide for Living Unfiltered and Unafraid. And the book will be released. So she's got the book in her hands for those on Spotify. For those on Spotify who's got video view access, she's got the book in her hand. It's a pretty cover. It's got like a pink background. I love the pink. Happy Being Well loves pink. So a little bit about Rachel. She is a renowned life coach. It's an empowering guide that teaches you how to unapologetically define your own standards and stop trying to live up to others' expectations. What do you do when life seems to be against you? Rachel Luna has been asking herself this question ever since childhood. She lost both parents to AIDS, spent 10 intense years in the Marine Corps, fought triple negative breast cancer, and faced racism and misogyny throughout her life. Any one of these setbacks could have derailed her life. Yet instead of surrendering to despair, she sought to discover techniques that would help her remain resilient and allow her best self to shine. Synthesizing everything she learned, the world-renowned life coach created a life-changing program called Permission Slips to help anyone learn to let go and get in touch with their core self, to break free of their fear, judgment, have more meaningful conversations, and speak their truths. Following years of success with her clients, Luna now shares her program with the world. Refreshing, honest, and entertaining, Permission to Offend is filled with practical and manageable tools built around a 7-step framework you can use to set boundaries, stop caring about pleasing others, and go after what you truly want, accompanied by stories from her life and practice and told in a warm, empathetic voice. Permission to Offend is a must-have guide for stepping into your power and embracing it. So, Rachel, I'm so excited you're here. Yeah, it was. I just wanted everyone to kind of understand, you know, what the book really kind of encapsulates, because I think it's such an important topic today. And I think, you know, more and more people, I think everybody needs to kind of take, you know, kind of a self-discovery journey, really tap into their personal truths, because it's just so easy to get lost in the sauce of, you know, living up to what society says is important, having those shiny objects constantly thrown in your face, especially with social media. Everyone's kind of following these influencers or celebrities, and people are just kind of adopting things that they should have or who they should be. And then people are just, I think, collectively, people are just getting tired. They're realizing this is not my authentic self. I'm not so-and-so. I can't be so-and-so. So who am I to show up in my unique way, my unique style? And when you do that, you really do start to tap into your inner genius, your talents, and you start to have all that energy to really fuel you mm-hmm. to whatever life project you're meant to embark on. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Go ahead.
I for sure am doubling down on what you're saying. And also, I think it's interesting because I've worked with people that they're not even asking themselves, who am I? The question that they're really asking is, why am I not dot, 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 right? So it's not even, who am I inside? Why am I this way? It's more, why am I not her? Why am I not there? Why have I not? And there's this like flashlight of iniquity. And so one of the things I wanted to do was to reframe those questions and help our readers understand that, listen, the reason you're so tired, as you mentioned, Rita, the reason why you're so tired and you don't have energy is because it's exhausting trying to live on someone else's terms. That immediately takes you out of flow. It takes you out of alignment. It immediately creates the harder path. And I think people think that the easy path and the answers that they seek are found, you know, through someone else. And I want to say to you, no. You can use someone else's wisdom to help create some shortcuts, but you can only apply those shortcuts when you actually know what's true and authentic for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think a big part of, you know, people's challenge tapping into what's true and authentic for them is because people have just by, you know, going through society by default, living day to day, kind of operating from that default program, that routine. People have a fear of making the wrong choice, the wrong decision, because every choice action leads to a consequence. And so, you know, we hear it time and time again, like the woman that, you know, she had a bad feeling about a certain person, her intuition kicked in, but then her mind stepped in and said, oh, you know, like, you know, there's a battle between the mind and the intuition. So because we're scared that we may be wrong, we abandon the intuition instinct and we allow the mind to hijack the intuition. So by doing that, the intuition becomes weaker and weaker. So I think that's a part of the challenge as to why it's so difficult to really tap into, you know, what's really inside of us, right? Because of all the noise. And that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also the programming, right? So if you're getting it, one of the things, I'm Puerto Rican. So when I was growing up, I was raised in a home where children are meant to be seen, not heard. So I really could not speak. If I said anything, especially my mom used to say to me in Spanish, don't get into grown folks conversation. That was the always, always, always. So if adults were speaking, I was not allowed to speak. And if I spoke, ooh, that was it for me. First of all, we were in public and I spoke when adults were speaking, I'd get the look. Do you know the look, Rita? Does your family have a look? Whereas like, you know, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. And then my mom would lean over and whisper into my ear, "Yo te cojo en casa," which like would send a little chill up my back because that meant like, I'm gonna get you when we get home. So right away, as children, we are conditioned and programmed to raise our hand, to ask for permission to speak, ask for permission to be in the room, to ask for permission to be, right? Think about how many times a child will come up and say, "I want to do this." And the kid is like, no, or the mom is like, no, shh, 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 shh. We're constantly being shushed and told what to do. So I think that a lot of that creates that feeling of, I cannot show up and be myself because I'm going to get shushed. I'm going to get judged. I'm going to get criticized. And that's something I talk about in the book. The three fears that I identify are the fear of judgment, the fear of rejection, and the fear of defamation. So what will they think? What will they do? And who will they tell? Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, once overcome that, your life changes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So without giving away too much of the sauce, what is, you know, one, like maybe like one thing someone could do to start to embark on that journey to kind of, you know, slowly chip away at that fear of, you know, being shushed or being wrong or, you know, don't show up, don't be so loud, right? That, all that programming stuff that we get from all the institutions around us.
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say is you have to give yourself permission to be wrong. We are fighting to be right because we think that if we're right, then people will like us and accept us. And what's happening in the brain is always trying to keep us alive. And back in the caveman days, how did we stay alive? We stayed alive by being part of the community because we, not one person could do the shelter building and the gathering and the hunting and all of that, right? So we needed community. And at some point, our current brains have continue to hold on to that pattern that if I get separated from the community, I'm going to die. Really and truly, you will not die. You might just be lonely, but you will be able to survive. So you have to be willing to be wrong in everything, wrong in your thought, wrong in your idea, wrong in your belief. That's the first thing. The second thing I encourage you to do is to get curious. So one of the things I always say is that curiosity is the key to clarity. Not just for yourself, but for the clarity and understanding with other people. So that's the third thing, is to seek to understand instead of seeking to be understood. Because read that, if I am trying to understand you and you are trying to understand me, our conversations are going to be infinitely richer than if I am over here fighting you, pounding you over the head to see my perspective and to understand me. Because immediately when I'm trying to get you on my side, there is defense, there's bias, there's a lot of resistance that'll come up on your end because your ego is like, but I need to be right, you know? But if both of our egos and our unconscious minds can say, huh, maybe that's interesting, tell me more, we're going to have such an interesting dialogue. We're going to have, we will, if we are willing to do the work and stand in the gap together, we'll find some things that we definitely do not agree on about the other person. And then if we continue, we will find that connective tissue. And my belief is that the more we can connect with one another on a human to human level, the more good we can do in the world, the more change we can create together. But if I'm committed to my story and you're committed to your story, we're not going to get as far as we can. We'll get together further faster. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then there's one more thing. I know you said don't give away too much, but I like to, especially when I'm listening to the podcast, I'm like, no, let's give it to me. Because here's the thing. Yes, I'd love everyone to buy the book, but more than anything, I want people to heal and I want them to be free. So I teach in the book something that I call the framework for freedom. And the framework for freedom is loosely based on Dr. Albert Ellis's ABC model, but I've expanded on it. But your question originally was like, how do we stop doing that? How do we get out of this cycle? And really, it is questioning the stories that you're telling yourself repeatedly. So one of the stories that I had growing up was that everyone I love leaves me. And that's because my biological mother, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, my biological mother died of AIDS when I was 3.5 years old. And then my biological father also had AIDS and he passed away. And so I had this idea that, you know, those are my parents. I love them. Everyone I love leaves me. The other thing is that my father did live for quite a long time after my mother passed away, but he didn't keep me. He gave me to my godmother, who I call my mother. So there's no dispute. That's my mommy. And I'll punch you in the face if you tell me otherwise. Just kidding. But so my father gave me away in my mind. He gave me away and he, in my mind, abandoned me. So now I have two stories. I have the story that everyone I love leaves me. And the second story, my father abandoned me. Rita, both of those stories are not true. They're not the fact of what happened. They're my interpretation. If we look at the facts, and this is what I teach you to do in the book. If we look at the fact of the story, the fact is my mother loved me desperately. she already had 3 sons and all she wanted was a little girl. And then here I came along. This woman could not have loved me anymore. She was sick and she died. That's the fact, right? The fact is that my father didn't abandon me. I saw my father throughout the years. At least once a year, I saw my dad. Was he the dad that I wanted him to be? No, he wasn't. But was he there in my life? Yes, he was. Did he send me Christmas presents and birthday gifts every now and then? Was it consistent? No, it wasn't. But he did not abandon me. And so, but do you see how we will take a situation, we'll develop a story that's not even rooted in fact, based on our perception, our emotion, our limited life experience. So in the book, I give you the full framework for how to break that down and what to do so that you can make peace. When I finally did this work myself, you know what I realized, Rita? My dad loved me so much that he actually never let me go. My mommy, I'll call her my mommy, right? Like my mommy wanted to adopt me. And she reached out to him multiple times. Hey, can we make this official? And one day he finally said yes. And we were going to go down to the courthouse. So she went down to the courthouse to meet him. And now this is back in the day where there's no cell phones, right? It's just pay phones. And if you're home, if not, you get the answering machine. If you even had an answering machine. So my mommy goes down there and she's waiting and waiting and waiting and he never shows up. So she finally gets home. It was a big trip for her, by the way. It's like a 2-hour train ride just for her to get there. We're from New York City. She finally gets home and she calls him and he says, I'm sorry. I just can't give her up. So here, all my life, I thought my father abandoned me. And on his end, he thought, as long as I don't sign away my rights, I never gave up on her. Do you know how many years I sat in pain, Rita, thinking, believing this lie that I don't even know where it came from? But as soon as I did this process, I was able to have so much compassion for my father, who I didn't know at the time, but I found out after his death, he was still addicted to IV drugs up until the point of his death. I never knew that. I didn't know my dad was a drug user. So this is the power that we have doing this work. Sets you free. You become a whole new person. Mm-hmm. And then you can show so much more compassion and empathy to people that you don't know what someone else is going through. But we're just making stories up all day long, right? Someone cuts you off. And I get a lot of road anger. You know, someone cuts you off and I live in Florida and these Floridians, shout out to you if you're from Florida, but y'all do not know how to drive defensively. You know, it's just crazy. So, wow, Lower East. Anyway, so, but you see someone cut you off and right away, one might get angry, start telling stories, but you don't know. Maybe there's someone in the back seat of that car dying. And they're cutting us off to get to the place. I don't know, right? But we could just as easily as we can make up negative stories. I often wonder, well, that's not true. Just as easily as we can make up negative stories, we can make up positive stories. But I think sometimes people will do too much storytelling. This is why sometimes you'll see someone stay in a relationship far past its expiration date, because you're telling yourself stories that support your belief and faith in the potential of who they could be versus who they are being today. And so I challenge my readers to just put it through the framework. Just make decisions on the facts of today. Not on the hope of tomorrow, if it's holding you back, if it's keeping you stuck, if it's keeping you in an unfulfilling, abusive relationship, you got to get out. So, a little bit of juice there.
Wow, that was some powerful, powerful juice. I love, love, love that you touched upon, you know, and I think I think most people fail to recognize this. I think because, you know, we associate, because, you know, based on what we story that we tell based on, upon our imagination, based on our own mental filters, based on, you know, based on our own personal past history, we do make up you know, we fill in the gaps for a certain for a person's behavior, right? Just based upon the probabilities of our personal past history, which really is a delusion. It's not the truth. And, you know, and I think when people think of delusions or, you know, hallucinations, because in a way it's kind of like a little, it's not, you're not seeing an apparition or, you know, or something that's not there, but you are making up a story that is like, it's in a way, it's a delusion, right? It's not a massive one. So I think people think that, you know, people that have these extreme mental illnesses are the only ones that can have these delusions. Yes, of course, they're more extreme, you know, it's more an extreme case, but to go down to a person who's, you know, normal functioning member of society. And when we create these, it is a form, it's a smaller scale, of course, not interfering with our ability to function in society, right? But it is a delusion and we're not living, you know, in absolute truth, and the truth sets you free, right? So I love that you touched upon that. And it's such a, and in the book too, you talk about accessing your personal truth. And, you know, so, and for me, myself, you know, I've chipped, you know, every day chipping away at more and more truth and more empowered I get. So how would you tell somebody who's trying to embark more and more into truth, right? The truth of whether that be situations, people around you, especially yourself, how to start, you know, embarking on that journey to start seeing more truth in a band. Because to me personally, it's the ego that really creates these stories to protect our ego, to make us feel good, right? So it's, it, for me, it's, I see it as ego-based mainly. So yes. How?
So yes, ego, I think the ego gets a bad rap, you know, it's the thing that, you know, he had so much ego, the bravado, but the ego is really there to protect us. So that's its main function. It's to help you shine when it's your moment to shine, to help you defend yourself when it's your moment to defend yourself. And sometimes we can go a little too far to the extreme on either end, right? So the book is called Permission to Offend, but I teach in the first page that this is not meant to be a weapon. Right? This is really about community and connection and compassion. So, but there is such a thing as taking compassion too far and being too empathetic, right? Because the people that are too compassionate, too empathetic end up being the doormats and the people pleasers. And the people that are on the other side of offense, they just don't care at all. I call them the wounded offenders. You know, they're really out of integrity. They're just saying whatever it is to get their way. We've got to come into the center to find the empathetic offender, is what I talk about in the book. But in order to even get there, I think that the fastest way is to increase your offense capacity quotient. So I call it your OCQ, offense capacity quotient. And what that means is that in order for you to connect with your truth and to own your truth, you have to be willing to accept the truth of other people. One of the reasons why, and I've interviewed in preparation for this book, I did a lot of studying, a lot of research. I was interviewing people. When do you speak up? When do you not? Why haven't you done this? What's held you back? And one of the main reasons that people hold themselves back is because they don't want to hurt other people's feelings because they themselves have been so hurt. So the idea of inflicting pain, the idea of having a confrontation when they are not confrontational really scares them. So here's what I say. Number one, none of this is about confrontation, and all of this is about conversation and connection. So let's be very clear about that. You want to be able to raise your offense capacity, meaning, can you hold space for two truths to exist at the same time? Can you allow for someone else to have a different opinion or belief contrary to yours without you being wrong or them being wrong? So I always say, my truth doesn't make you a liar. Your truth doesn't make me a liar. We just see it differently. We believe two different things. And if you really think about life, isn't that what most of it is? A lot of what we do in life is based on our beliefs, and our ideas. So for example, Rita, I'm a Christian. I'm a God girl. I don't care what anybody else is, right? Because I have worked it out within myself that truly nobody knows. Nobody knows. Who is God? Where did it come from? I don't know. This is the belief choice that I've made. And I'm looking at my life, my experiences, and I have evidence to support my belief and why it's true for me, but I don't have the evidence of why it might be true for you. So then you might be able to say to me, I completely disagree. I believe in source or the Big Bang or whatever your belief is. And when we are increasing our offense capacity, when we are doing the work and permission to offend, then the conversation between us would be more like, huh, that's interesting, Rita. Tell me why you believe that. Tell me why that is true for you. And then you'll tell me. And then I'll say, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't see how you got there, but I understand that that's where you believe what you believe. Or I might say, huh, I don't agree with that, but I understand why that's true for you. Either way, now we're having dialogue. Now I can say my next bit of truth. Well, my next bit of truth is that not only do I believe in God, but my next bit of truth is like, I believe in Jesus. Well, why do you believe that? Well, let's talk about it. And then we can go back and forth. And listen, I always use the religion topic because I know it's one of the harder ones. We could talk about politics. We can talk about money. I don't know how you grew up when it comes to the subject of money, but I was raised that we don't talk about money. How were you raised about money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about money. That was how I was raised. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom, I remember asking her, Mom, how much does the bill cost? Some, you know, bill, rent or something. And she goes, that's none of your business. Angry, offended that I asked her about her money. And you know what that did for me as a kid, Rita? That made me think money is none of my business. So when the bills started coming in, I would just throw them away because money is none of my business. How horrible that story was for me. So now I am on a mission to say, let's just have these uncomfortable conversations. But first, to even have them, increase your ability to be offended. There's a quiz that I have. It's called the Offense Capacity Quotient. It's in the book in chapter 5. But if you're listening, is it okay if I tell them where they can go to?
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So you can. Great. So you can take the quiz for free at permissiontooffend.com/quiz. It's quick. There's funny little gifts. You're going to enjoy it. And then at the end, you're going to get one of three results, right? You're either low, mid, or high. No matter where you fall, we all have work to do so that we can become leaders in this practice. And again, it's not about confrontation. It is really about conversation and compassion and connection. I think that once we master this work, we're going to get further on issues like race, gender, wage equality, you know, just overall life well-being will increase when we all feel at peace with our own truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And which starts by accessing what your own truth is. You know, I just feel... You know, a lot of people are just so hungry to see what others are doing in terms of, you know, what's the trending outfit to wear or, you know, what should I be doing for a business or a career or, you know, it's just this constant, it's a validation, external validation or in terms of what's trending or hot or, you know, like it's just, I think a lot of people have been speaking to that and this is where, you know, this book comes in and what you're speaking on is, you know, taking this journey to start asking yourself these pivotal questions. And then once you really access your truth as well, you're not going to really, other people's you know, opinions, essentially. It's not, you know, yeah, you're going to accept other people's perspectives and viewpoints. You know, it's just, we're human beings and we all have different experiences and different ways of interpreting things based on our personal past history and what we've, you know, we've all have different experiences of education and, you know, grew up in different homes. You know, it just, we have a variety. And I think that's, we need to kind of see the beauty in that collectively, because yes, if we were all the same, we would be robots. And I think that would be kind of boring, right?
Like, yes, I agree.
And I think the beauty in that is that we get to have interesting conversations. And that's why podcasts have taken off so, so rapidly, is more and more people are tuning into podcasts because these are interesting conversations. People get to be a fly on the wall and listening to based on people's different viewpoints. And it makes things interesting to kind of like, okay, let's see, you know, how to alchemate these different viewpoints and let's take this journey and see where this leads us to. It's enriching, you know, and expands your mind, mm-hmm, and it expands your ability to think flexibly, which I'm a big advocate for, wow, is expanding your mental flexibility, right? We don't want to, and that's actually a big part of being successful, is having that capacity to expand your mental thinking flexibility so you can really, really expand your creativity and really be a great problem solver and adapt to different situations while being in a calm state, right? As opposed to being so rigid in a box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me personally, I actually enjoy being around people that have different ideas and opinions, because I feel like it helps me expand my own perspective. It helps make me a more creative person. It just, I don't know, it's almost like a new discovery. Whenever I meet people that have different ideas, I feel like, oh, this is interesting. This is going to get good. Let me hear about this. You know, I'm so curious. And I wish that more people were that way. But you know why some people can't be? Is because they're not rooted in their identity. So, and this is something I talk about in chapter 2, they're not rooted in their identity. So they're not 100% certain about their beliefs and their values. They're just really living on that autopilot that we mentioned earlier, right? Many of our beliefs, our ideas, our thoughts are imprinted and programmed into us by our caregivers. But at some point, we start to develop our own opinions and ideas. But if we're around the caregivers who have different ideas and they're telling us, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, then suddenly we begin to have a fractured identity, because our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, our soul is telling us one thing, but the world is telling us another. And so there's incongruence or dissonance, if you will. So now here I am sitting with someone who has a different belief than me. The individual already has a fractured identity. Now you say something that is contrary to their whole belief, sets them off completely. They don't know what to do with themselves, because it's one more person telling them that they are wrong, when in their heart, they already are thinking, what if I'm wrong? What if everything that I've been led to believe is a lie? Then what does that mean about me? What does that make me? Who does that make me? And those questions can be really, really tough on the soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. We all have, you know, different parts to us, just based on, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, and we all have had so many different life experiences, where we've kind of adopted these values around. And so sometimes they're in, it's really easy to have values conflict as a result. You know, we live in a world, there's a lot of contradictions. And based on all the different life experiences we've had since we were, you know, a child, an infant, all the way up to our adulthood, definitely. And all the messages, all the covert messages we're getting from whatever we're seeing on TV or any type of form of media or our friends, colleagues, whatever, right? Whatever we expose our eyes and ears to, you know, we can definitely adopt, whether you're consciously aware of it or unconsciously aware of it, that can have a contradiction. And it actually, when you have two values that are in conflict, you know, it could actually just impede your ability to progress in a certain area of life just due to a feeling of feeling stuck or frozen because you're just smashing, you know, these two various values are not, they're conflicting. And so you feel subconsciously, you just can't really move forward. Right. So, and you really don't understand why. And that's why it's so important to read a book like yours and to go through that journey of to get to know yourself, like really take a deep dive and figure out what you're made of, right? So that you can finally, you know, kind of live in your authenticity of what it is that you're meant, you know, to live, right? As opposed to constantly, in a way you're like struggling, right? Cause you're fighting when you're going up resistance and you're not, it's not really you. And all these things, it's exhausting. And this is where depression can come in too. Cause depression, you know, is if you're just depleted, you're just feeling exhausted, worn down. So this is why it's trending now to go into a self-discovery. People are really starting to get it. Like, it's like, okay, I need to understand myself because of some of the things that we're talking about here. And I mean, there's a lot more to it. Okay. It's unfortunately, it's not just listening to one podcast episode and it's like, you're cured. However, it is expanding your awareness, right? As to number one, the importance of doing the work, the benefits of it and how to get started, what books to read, what programs to start enrolling into, podcasts to listening to, like obviously listening to Happy Being Well's podcast is definitely the step in the right journey. All right. So talk to us about how you kind of got started. I know you had, you know, you talked about your childhood and all of the challenges you went through, even aside from losing your parents, the race and the misogyny, you know, the experience of being in a military corp, the race and the misogyny, you know, the experience of being in a military corp, you know, which could have derailed anybody, of course, but not everybody really takes, you know, really goes on a journey to really develop themselves. You know what I mean? Like you could have went into a self-destructive journey or you could have lived an inauthentic life. So what led you to really kind of take that journey?
Yeah, well, I did all that. I did. I was self-destructive. I did that first. So I had a real problem with alcohol. Well, first of all, I had disordered eating in my teens. And that was a really big struggle for me. And then for me, a lot of it had to do with my faith. So my faith really did help me overcome the disordered eating. And that was not an easy journey. So for anybody that's listening that is still, you know, struggling with disordered eating, I just want to let you know that I see you. And it was not I just said a few prayers and there I was. No, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of healing. It was a lot of recognizing what a treasure life is. I think that's something, because I lost my parents, I was always very aware and focused on the fragility of life. And so I never say life is short. I always say life is fragile. And I recognized that I was really on a path of distraction. And if I didn't heal from the disordered eating, that my biggest fear was that my mom was going to find me in the bathroom with a ruptured esophagus. And so I decided to make a change in that regard. Then I went off to college and I had another trauma, and that sent me into like alcohol binging, like nobody's business. I almost didn't graduate college because of the problems that I had with alcohol. And then I had a counselor say to me, look, we will help you graduate, but you have to go to AA. And, you know, Rita, I think it's important that at some point you have to choose yourself. You have to bet on yourself. You have to love the value. You have to value life enough that you're willing to look like a fool. You're willing to stand up and say, hi, my name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic. Like, I still choke on those words, right? And I choked on them much harder because the first couple of meetings, I was like, my name is Rachel. I'm not an alcoholic, but they said I had to come, you know? And so denying my truth. But the truth was that at that time in my life, I would wake up and I'd have the shakes. And the only thing that would stop the shakes would be to take a shot. So then I had several come to Jesus moments in my life, Rita. And I wish I could tell you that it was just one. No, one come to Jesus moment led me to kick the disordered eating. Another come to Jesus moment led me to stop drinking. Another come to Jesus moment led me, well, really the final moment that led me to the on the path of coaching was when I found out that my on again, off again boyfriend of 3 years was actually happily married. And I thought the world was going to come out from under me. I couldn't understand. I couldn't believe it. At that exact moment, a lot of things were going wrong in my life. I was in debt. I was overweight. I was in the Marine Corps. And even though I was very good at my job, my boss did not like the way I looked in uniform. I wasn't overweight by Marine Corps standards, but I am a very petite person. And so I looked too full figured for his liking. So it was just a whole series of events where I felt less than and unloved and unqualified and incapable. And I was tired of feeling that way. And I knew, because I had evidence of other people's success, I knew that success was possible. And I had this inner knowing. You spoke about intuition earlier. I had this inner knowing that I had already been called and qualified and anointed and appointed, and that there was a mandate in my life to first set myself free, to heal, and then to help others do the same. Now, for our listeners, it didn't hit me like that all at once. It was a knowing. And the reason I say that is because I think that if you're listening to the Happy Being Well podcast, you have a knowing. And maybe it's not clear for you that you've been called and qualified and anointed and appointed and chosen. Maybe you don't feel that yet. But as soon as you acknowledge that there's a knowing and you start taking the steps that Rita and I have been talking about, and I know so many of the other topics that she shares on the show, when you start implementing one idea here, another idea there, all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, wait a second, I have been called. And then you're going to take a course like she mentioned, or a certification. And then it's like, oh, I've got the qualifications. And then you're going to connect to your spirit, whoever the source of your faith is to you. And then you're going to realize, oh, there's an anointing on me. And then there will be a moment where you either create your own stage, your own podcast, your own course, your own whatever, or you apply for somewhere and then you are appointed. What I want to encourage you to do is to stop waiting for all of that to happen in one thing and respect the journey. Because that's what I did. I'm here because I respected the journey, and I was willing to be wrong along the way. And I was willing to fail even when I did not want to fail. And that's how you get to give yourself permission to offend.
I love that, Rachel. That was so beautiful and so powerful. And thanks for speaking directly to the Happy Being Well audience and inspiring them. That's just amazing. Where can people buy the book and when can they buy it? Because I know, is there a pre-order sales available? So I know it's not going to be released until February 7th. So tell us the details, how to get the book.
The details. Come and get the book. So there are definitely pre-order sales. So whenever you're listening to this, you can go to permissiontooffend.com/presale. And I've got bonuses and extras and goodies. The book is shipping on February 7th, 2023. But if you happen to make your purchase before that, you will get an email from me with the introduction and chapter one in PDF form. So you can be off to the races. We've had so many people already purchase the book, start reading, and they are loving it. And I know if you are a listener of Happy Being Well and you love this podcast, you will absolutely love the book. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. And guys, buy the book. And it's permissiontooffend.com, right? To buy the book.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect. So go and buy the book, guys, whether it's pre-order or this podcast is released in February, just buy the book. and I know you're also a podcast host as well. And
yes, I am.
It's the Real Talk with Rachel Luna podcast. And also Forbes.
Actually, I'm sorry, Rita. I'm sorry. It's actually called Permission to Offend.
Oh.
So we had a rebrand. We wanted to keep it all in line with the book. So it's still Permission to Offend the book, Permission to Offend the podcast, permissiontooffend.com. We are in the business of healing and community and connection and compassion. And we give ourselves the permission to do so.
Awesome. I love that. So it's Permission to Offend podcast. And Forbes also named Rachel one of the 11 most inspiring female entrepreneurs to follow on Instagram. So guys, the links will be in the show notes to either copy and paste and put into your browser, or if it's a clickable link, depending upon what podcast listening platform you're listening to, click on it. Buy the book, permissiontooffend.com. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being on the show. You really poured into the Happy Being Well audience and myself. I love this conversation. So inspiring, so empowering. And thank you so much for sharing your story with the world and the insights and strategies you've cultivated through those experiences to help everybody else live happy being well as well.
Thank you so much, Rita, for having me. It's been such an honor. And thank you to the Happy Being Well community.
Thank you. Okay, guys, continue living happy being well. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet and live happy being well. Until next time, guys.
If you learned something new or were inspired to live happy being well, please be sure to subscribe to the Happy Being Well podcast so you don't miss an upcoming episode. Also, please feel free to leave a 5-star review, including what you learned or what inspired you in today's episode. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store for natural wellness products, so you can live happy being well. Order your next all-natural essential oil, all-natural face mask, all-natural bath soap, all-natural deodorant, herbal tea, crystals including crystal home decor and kitchen items, irresistible leggings, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on all orders within the USA.